Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Janine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause, and today's episode is all about why having sexy ankles adds years to your life. Now, guys, before you're going, oh my God, I don't even want to listen to this, hear me out. If your ankles move well and you don't have cankles and you don't have one ankle that's larger than the other, guess what? You can walk better, you have less back pain, and your mobility is just a heck of a lot better. And today's episode is somewhat a continuation of last week's episode where I talked all about the foot. Now I'm kind of going into the ankle because oftentimes we go right to the source of pain, which might be the back or might be a knee or a hip, but we forget about the whole chain all the way down to the feet and the ankles. And the reason I really wanted to have this podcast follow the feet, because, well, they're of course joined and they're one right after the other, but also because it seems to me that if I move upwards from working on feet and ankles, then knees, then hips, then the back pain seems to go away. So I can't ignore the feet and the ankles. And in particular, today we're going to focus on the ankles. And our ankles are one of those things that oftentimes we don't really pay attention to, unless, of course, you're a lady and you're like, oh my gosh, my ankles are swollen. Or maybe, guys, you're noticing that your socks leave lines in your shins. And ladies, this happens, of course, to us too. What that means is we've got some restricted blood flow in there. Circulation isn't so great. And that's a huge issue. And I will go into how to get rid of cankles in about three more episodes where I'm going to talk about lymphatic tissue and clearing out our toxins in the body and getting our blood flow moving better. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, let's get back to these ankles. So most of the time when folks come into my office, they're going to complain of pain on one side of the body. And I kind of mentioned this last week with the foot pain. We tend to have a side that's our problem side. My side, for example, is my right side. And I have rolled my right ankle I can't even tell you how many times, so many darn times. It's quite flexible. In fact, I used to joke when I lived in Colorado that, oh, my ankles are good. I roll them all the time while trail running. It's cool. I'll just, you know, keep going. No big deal. And I was good until I decided that at almost 40 years of age, I wanted to walk on my hands. And I came down all wrong from walking on my hands and ended up spraining that darn right ankle. Now, one might think, okay, that's coincidence, you know, that's my right ankle, that's my one I always roll, and then finally I really did a good number on it. Well, oddly enough, that right ankle didn't go on its own. It had some help, and basically my tight calves and a knee injury the year prior while skiing didn't help it out. So hopefully you're kind of thinking through this at this point, going like, okay, what side is my pain side and what side do I tend to injure more and do I take care of that side? Or is that the side that's tighter than others? So think that through for a minute and hold on to that thought. Now let's go back to what I see in my practice. Now, I will have people up on the table and I'm looking at their ankle mobility and I'll take their toe and try to point it up towards the ceiling and I'll take their toe and try to point it down towards the ground and make them point their toes like a nice pretty ballerina. And a lot of people, that motion is clunky. It feels really stiff in there. Sometimes I'll also have some real clunky motion when I try to turn feet inwards or outwards. And so if that's you, and maybe you're sitting at home and maybe you're not in the car at the moment, hey, try it out. See what your ankle feels like in terms of pointing your toes to the ceiling, pointing your toes to the floor, and turning your feet inward and outward. See if your two ankles are even. Compare them. Please don't do this if you're driving. That's bad. I don't want to be cause of any trouble on the road. But if you're just hanging out, by all means, check it out. See what happens. So that is where I'll tend to go, okay, if this person has lack of mobility in their ankle, chances are there's going to be lack of mobility all the way up the chain, causing their back pain or causing ankle pain or knee pain or hip pain. Another common thing that I see is lack of ankle mobility and hip pain. Those seem to go hand in hand. And if I can work on helping a patient to mobilize their ankle, a lot of times that hip pain goes away. In particular, there's a fabulous stretch that you've got to have someone else do for you. It's a type of stretch involving traction. So the person's laying on the table face up, you grab a hold of their foot and stabilize your hands on either side of their foot, and you just pull. And sometimes you can kind of shake up and down on the foot and pull a little bit and shake up and down, and that'll help to mobilize that ankle. It's called traction. You can YouTube it and see what that's all about. Now, another thing that I'll tend to do is I'll tend to take one of my hands, like say my left hand, and put on someone's shin. So I'll take my left hand, put it on the shin. I'll take my right hand and put it on the top of the foot, and I'll press down on the foot while stabilizing the shin. And oftentimes that too will help with ankle mobility and stretch, and then also will help to open up the front of the hip. And I have one patient in my practice who absolutely loves this. She asks me to do this every time she comes in. And oddly enough, I mean, it's shocking how well it helps with her mobility. Now, of course, she's got to do some homework at home. And that's what this podcast is really all about, getting you to pay attention to your ankle and move it better. Because so many people roll their ankles, don't think much about it. Maybe it happened while they were at a party or maybe at a wedding and they just rolled their ankle, chalked it up to like, oops, just rolled my ankle, no big deal. A couple days later when the swelling goes down and the bruising goes down, they're back kind of sort of walking on their foot again and just kind of going, it was just a minor ankle sprain. Yeah, but those minor little sprains are what cause us to have reduced mobility in the ankle and a huge issue in terms of causing trouble all the way up. Because if that ankle's not moving right, you're not going to walk properly and you're going to have an imbalance in your walk, and that's going to reverberate all the way up to your back. So let me take a couple moments here to talk about one of my patients that I had in Colorado that fractured his ankle. So he had a traumatic injury to his ankle. Unfortunately, it was after a car accident, and he had jumped out of his truck to try to go grab his dog, and his foot was trapped in some brush, and he fractured his ankle at that point. Now, he had some hardware put into that ankle. And so he had some screws and some plates and whatnot put into that ankle. He went through physical therapy, but what ended up happening is he was over 40 at the time. And anybody who's over 40, rehabbing and moving doesn't work as well as it did when you were 20 years old. So combine that with him having a very, very physical job. He maintained some lodges in Colorado. And so this fellow was moving around, just walking kind of gimp-like, because while he didn't have time to take off of work with his injured ankle. And when it kept hurting beyond putting in the hardware and post-surgery and PT, he just kept moving on it. And it broke my heart to watch him later on as he was just kind of dragging his leg after a long day behind him. That poor ankle just would get dragged behind. But what ended up happening is he had such reduced mobility in that ankle, probably somewhat because of the hardware. So I can't say that this would have been a perfect case here, but he didn't do his homework and didn't work on his ankle mobility. And this is a huge, crucial mistake. Even though, of course, I tried, his wife tried to get him to do things, he just was like, yeah, I'm not going to do it. And so unfortunately, what ended up happening is now he has knee pain, hip pain, and back pain because of that darn ankle. Now, not every case in which I see is that severe, where someone has hardware put in, so screws and plates. Granted, those things are definitely going to restrict range of motion, but you can still keep mobility going because all of our joints are fluid. If we don't keep them moving, they develop scar tissue. Things lock up. You've probably heard of frozen shoulder. You can have frozen ankle. You can have frozen knee. You can have all kinds of things. And as we get older, things gunk up. They get sticky in our joints because we have these end parts on our bones called articular cartilages. These are like little sponges. And the more we move those joints, the more those little sponges squeeze out something called synovial fluid. This is our grease that greases our joints. And so waking up every morning and doing a little ankle routine is huge. Same thing with the foot, just moving things around in our feet. It's absolutely critical for getting going for the day because as you get older, you're going to get stiffer. And sleeping all night. Hopefully you're sleeping 8 hours, but you know, you're laying there doing nothing for a certain amount of time. When you get up, you know, those articular cartilages haven't squeezed out that synovial fluid, so your joints aren't greased. And so mobility exercises first thing in the morning, especially with your feet and ankles, helps to grease the joints and get things started for the day. Oddly enough, I just had a conversation this morning at my gym about, do warm-up exercises need to be on the bike or using a row machine, or is it just as important to use mobility as your warm-up? And hands down, mobility. And the reason I say that is because if you're not moving your joints properly, how the heck are you going to get on a bike and move your joints properly? That's just goofy. You want to have your joints moving. Grease your joints in the morning. It takes 5 minutes, and I will show you how to do it at the end of this podcast. I will talk you through it, and then there'll be videos in my resource pages as to how to do it. And in fact, last week's videos are going to run into this week's. They're the same for the foot and ankle mobility, so you're getting a 2-for-1 when you do those. Okay, so let me go into an interesting story about myself. So last August, like I was saying, I was walking on my hands and I was just, you know, plugging along on learning how to do the hand walk stuff, and then came down super hard, a weird dismount, and I literally kind of jammed my toes into the floor at my gym. And instant pain, instant swelling of my joint. I had a pretty severe sprain. And I was off my foot for 6 weeks. Now, I didn't follow all the instructions of not doing anything. I didn't wear the boot more than a week and a half because it was straight up annoying. And I actually knew at that point that it wasn't fractured, obviously, because I had had an x-ray. And so at that point, I said, you know what? Forget this. I feel like my foot is getting stiffer and stiffer. And this is one of the big things that I notice happen to people with ankle injuries is either you're going to roll your ankle, not think much about it, move on, and not give your ankle any rehab, or you will know that you did something, so you'll baby it, and you won't rehab your ankle. So one of my biggest things last year when I did that was like, oh my gosh, I have to take so much care of my ankle, because I've seen so many people sprain ankles and now they've got two uneven ankles and their ankle doesn't perform like their other ankle. My dad, he's going to be 81 this year, and he sprained his ankle while teaching me how to ice skate. He never lets me live this down, by the way. But he, too, has an ankle that is larger than the other, and it's because he didn't move it right. So, okay, I went through my 6 weeks of, I went through my week and a half of wearing that boot. And after that, I started moving my ankle like a crazy person because I did not want that sucker to lock up. And I went through a series of mobility movements, much like what I have in my resource pages on my website at drjkrausnd.com. And it worked wonders. I have two ankles that look exactly the same because I was terrified. I'll admit, I'm kind of vain. I didn't want one big fat ankle compared to my other one. I was absolutely terrified of this. And because, of course, I see this in my practice all too often, I kind of went, oh my God, I can't have this happen to me. So I worked on my ankle. But what I also did is work on my calf and my hamstrings and my hip, because I found that ankle mobility is one thing, but calf mobility is another. And so this is where I really want to hammer this point home today is, yes, ankle mobility is huge, but I also find that a lot of us are walking around with really tight calves, really tight anterior shin muscles, so our anterior tibialis, and really tight hamstrings or quads or both. And those need to be dealt with too, because they're just as important to your ankle mobility, especially your calves. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that too, because it's kind of crazy that when I get into working on someone's ankle who has sprained their ankle, most of the time their calves are going to be really tight because they're compensating, but I'll go to their opposite, their non-injured one, and that one's going to be just as tight. And you'll find that I'll ask these folks, hey, were your calves tight before you injured your ankle? Most people will say, I don't know, maybe. Or most people will say, well, yeah, I have chronic calf cramps or something. There's some indicator. And same thing with me in my injury last year, my calves are super tight. I was noticing that they were super tight, and it was because of my knee injury the year before that and didn't even pay attention to it. And so you can see how this happens. It's pretty easy to have issues. So why the heck do we tend to sprain our ankles? Well, besides being clumsy, which I fully am clumsy, but the calves. So calves. If we keep our ankle mobile, that's one thing. But if our calves are tight, oftentimes that's how we can kind of end up with issues with the joints. And most of the time, it's some sport we're doing that's tightening it, or it is just flat out lack of mobility from the feet all the way up causing those calves to be tight. So most folks at this point have heard about rolling out the calves with lacrosse balls, using massage, using a foam roller. If you've used a foam roller to try to roll out your calves, I applaud you. Holy cow, that hurts. I think the lacrosse ball feels a little bit better. Or gua sha, that little jade tool that I've described to work on scraping the skin a little bit. And scraping sounds brutal, but it actually helps to get a ton of blood flow to certain areas. So here's the deal. There are trigger points in your calves and in your shins that can help you with your ankle mobility and can help you to keep your ankles mobile with time. One of my most favorite points is the one in my front of my leg, the tibialis anterior. So if you're hanging out and you can actually poke around on your leg, I highly encourage you to do this. So go to your kneecap. And at the bottom of your kneecap, just kind of like that line at the bottom, take your finger and slide all the way out to the side to where you rest, right by the head of your fibula. You're going to get this knobby bone area. Feel that? Okay, good. So now take your finger and put your finger underneath your kneecap. So put your index finger underneath your kneecap and take your third finger and put it on the head of your fibula. And then take a look at your shin there. You're going to look at right in between your two fingers. There's going to be a spot in that muscle. So I want you to just take your finger and go right down that muscle that's in between your edge, your lower border of your kneecap and the head of your fibula, and see if you can find a knot in there. Chances are you might find a good knot, I'd say about 2 to 3 inches below the lateral border of that kneecap. Something about 2 inches, sometimes 3 for folks, and go stay closer to the bone. See what you get. The more you've been wearing flip-flops, the more you're going to feel this point. This is one of the best trigger points for helping to release your shins. If anyone's prone to shin splints, this is another really great release point. So oftentimes what I'll have people do is press that point and you can massage that point. The other thing you can do is you could take a lacrosse ball and kind of work on that point. You can also take a gua sha tool. So this is a jade tool jade tool that you can get there on that point and you can rock back and forth with it. Say you don't have a jade tool. If you have a soup spoon, so a pho, that type of Vietnamese soup spoon, or an Asian soup spoon, if you know what that is, you can rock back and forth on that right there. You can use and use the soup part of it, not the ladle handle part of it. Okay, so you get to holding on to that spot there and you really can dig in there, and it's going to hurt at first, but you might even get a little bit of a twitch of that muscle. But with time, it'll feel great. Now, I recommend using coconut or avocado oil, some type of oil. Don't just get in there and start moving a soup spoon in that area or the gua sha tool. If you're using the lacrosse ball, just use the lacrosse ball as is. And if you're using just your fingers, great. Just rock your fingers around and just really press in there and give yourself a really good massage. So that's the front of your shin. Now, the back of your leg here, there is a muscle called tibialis posterior or posterior tibialis, depending on who you talk to and the name of the muscles. And if you go from your knee, so go behind your knee, so right where your knee crease is behind it, and you go down about 3 inches or so, just kind of move your finger down, see if you find a spot there. It's kind of right in between both heads of your gastroc. So those are your muscles at the back of your calf.
oftentimes you can find a spot in there. If you don't find it directly in between, go to the medial, so towards the inside of your leg a little bit, and you'll find it. It's right about, I would say, 3 inches down there. And that spot is amazing for helping with bottom of the foot pain. It's also really great for inside of the ankle pain because that tendon literally goes down and goes right to the inside of your ankle bone. So hold on to that one. Rock on that one a little bit. Now, another biggie is if you go back to the head of the fibula. So that's that knobby bone on the side of your leg, like on the side of your knee. If you go about 2 inches down from that knob, chances are you might have a knot there in the muscles that are on the side of your leg. This is a peroneus longus trigger point. So the muscle is called peroneus longus, and that knot is right in that muscle. So I'll also have people work on that area as well. Now, this lateral side of your leg has a lot of muscles that work together in the peroneal muscle group. There's one called peroneus brevis. This guy, this trigger point's like probably half the way down your leg. And like I said, go from that head of the fibula and just take your finger and slide it down your leg and go like halfway down your leg and kind of move your fingers around in line with your ankle bone and see if you can find a little knot. And if you go just a little bit back from there, that works too. And kind of go a little bit forward from there if you're noticing that you're not finding it directly in line with your ankle bone. And this is your lateral ankle bone. Now, one of the big reasons I often talk about this point is because it comes down and goes behind the tendon of the peroneus brevis, goes behind your lateral ankle bone. So this one too can be one of the biggies in terms of helping with mobility for the ankles because it helps keep this tendon moving, because if you have tight muscles, your tendons to these tight muscles don't move very well, meaning your ankle doesn't move so well. Now, there's another one. His name is Peroneus tertius. He's a tiny little guy, and he's about 3 inches above your lateral ankle bone. And so if you go to your lateral ankle bone and you go about 3 inches up, just kind of run your finger up right behind your fibula and see if you find a knot. And if you don't find one right behind, just go a little bit. Yeah, it's pretty much behind, but see if it's right on the bone. That works too. And that muscle there, that guy's a big problem child, because that tendon goes in front of your ankle and goes down to your fifth digit of your foot. And that sometimes can be a big area where folks have pain in it. And oftentimes it's that pain in front of the ankle or in front and lateral to the ankle bone on the side there. So I don't know if I'm making sense today, but the lateral side of your ankle and just kind of in front of it, there's a little divot. This tendon comes around right there, and that one can be a biggie. So that one's another biggie that I highly recommend going after. Now, the other ones have to do with your hamstring muscles, because if your hamstrings are tight, they're going to make your calves tight and then cause your ankle not to be very mobile. And these two guys are up higher. So go back to your ankle crease, or sorry, your ankle crease, your knee crease. So that crease behind your knee, and go down about 3 to 4 inches on each side there. So meaning each side, you've got the two heads of your gastroc, so your calf muscle. So go down about 3 to 4 inches and then go a little bit to the lateral side of your leg and go to a little bit to the medial, so inside of your leg from that spot. So if you took the middle of your knee crease and you went straight down midline of the back of your leg, then branch out to the right, branch out to the left on your lower leg, you'll find some knots. Those guys are huge because they are going to help your calf muscle move, but they're also commonly restricted because your hamstring muscles insert a little bit above there and they often tend to lock things up. Now, I've got a video in my resources page on drjkrausnd.com that will show you all the ways to release your hamstrings and your calves using Dr. Laura Perry's method of trigger point release. So check it out. It's also in my blog post under this episode as well. So we've talked about those guys. Now, there are two
well, technically three crucial points in terms of another calf muscle that's underneath your gastrocnemius. So your gastroc or gastrocnemius, as is a fancy term, that's your most superficial calf muscle in the back. Now, there's actually a flat muscle underneath it known as the soleus. The soleus is kind of a tricky one, but oftentimes a problem child as well. Now, the way to find the soleus is to actually move your gastroc out of the way. And so if you're poking around on your calf and you can feel that kind of big, meaty calf muscle superficially, oftentimes I'll go behind my knee and I'll go midline again. So midline of the crease of your posterior knee, come down about 3 inches and then go about 3 to 4 inches towards the inside of your leg, and you'll feel your bone, so your tibia there, and you'll kind of feel a little lump in between there from the tibia backwards towards your gastrocs. That's your soleus. And in there are some really good trigger points along the inside of your tibia. And so just run your fingers down the side of your leg, inside and outside, and see what comes up, and focus on those areas that hurt. Those are your trigger points. Now, some people will have trigger points in different spots. These are the most common ones. And so if you're kind of going along the ways where I described there are points and you're not finding anything, just poke around on your calf or have someone else do it for you and see what they come up with, because you'll be surprised how many different areas on your calves might be really, really sore. And so I highly recommend spending a couple of moments, just 2 to 3, 5 at the most minutes with each of these knots daily. And then working with general mobility of your ankles and your knees. And I'll go into the knee mobility and hip mobility in my next episode. But really focus on foot and ankle until we go into how to do the knee and the hip. And that's going to help you big time to get your ankle moving again and get your feet moving again so that you're walking better and your back's going to feel better. It's hugely important. I can't say enough about it because it's really changed my life in terms of being able to move and not keep this ankle from, you know, holding me back from things in life. I'm back to running. I'm doing everything. And granted, it's been a year, but unfortunately, I see so many people that once they have an ankle injury, it's like they're done for sports and everything from there on out. And that's sad. We don't want that. So, all right, I've talked through some of the major points for the trigger points. There are plenty more. There are some great resources online to look at. Janet Travell, if you look up her, she is one of the great physical therapists who started all of the trigger point revolution way back in the 60s. She actually was JFK, the president's physical therapist, cool lady. So Janet Travell, if you're interested in looking more into trigger points, it's quite a good read. So takeaway from today, the big thing here is to keep your ankle moving. Even if you do injure it, obviously you need to get it checked out, see a doc, make sure that you don't have a very major sprain that might need surgical repair. But if you've got a minimal sprain, you just rolled your ankle, don't ignore it. Don't just go, oh, well, I'll be good in 2 days. Keep your ankle moving. Even if it hurts just a little bit, just keep it moving. Yes, if you just did it, you need to do the rest, ice, compression, elevation for 20 minutes out of every hour, for sure, do that. But after you've gone through the first 24 hours, start moving that sucker, because you do not want it to lock up on you, because it's gonna mess up your back and mobility for life, and you don't want that. You wanna keep your ankles nice and sexy and mobile. So my next episode is gonna go into the hips, it's gonna go into the knees and how to release those and get those guys moving. Now, of course, because this is a podcast and you can't see me poking around on my legs as I've been talking to you here, I highly recommend going on over to my website, drjkrausnd.com, looking at my show notes. I've got the video links there for finding all those trigger points. And I highly recommend that you do this, even if you don't have ankle pain and you're just getting older and wanting to stay mobile. This is a great longevity technique. Highly, highly recommended. But if you do have back pain, you do have ankles that just don't move or feet that just don't move so great, get on it right away so that you can live to like 105 or something and be amazing well into your
your older ages. Now, one other thing before I wrap it up for today is you also have to think about your nutrition in terms of your tendons and ligaments. Your tendons and ligaments need protein. They thrive off of amino acids, proline being one of the main ones. Your muscles thrive off of glycine being another amino acid. So making sure that you are getting in enough protein daily. And if you're wondering how much protein you need, it's literally a calculation. You want to take your weight in pounds, divide it by 2.2. And then once you've got your weight in kilograms, then I want you to take your weight in kilograms and multiply it by 0.08. That factor is going to be the basic amount of protein that you need daily to sustain function. Now, if you are actively having issues with your tendons and ligaments, I do recommend collagen peptides. So Vital Proteins Collagen Peptides, great company, Blue Cap, Blue Label, online, Amazon, grab some, take that daily while you're working on rehabbing a tendon or ligament injury. Absolutely critical. It helps ramp things up. But for all intents and purposes, just making sure you're getting in the basics in terms of protein daily to help. Now, of course, the other big thing is if you're not digesting protein, then you'll want to make sure you're digesting protein well. And what do we do to do that? Well, you'll need some digestive enzymes. And I highly recommend those too if you notice that eating meat or chicken or fish or whatnot sits in your belly and doesn't move through too well. Highly recommend a digestive enzyme. One of the easiest digestive enzymes is bromelain. It comes from papaya or pineapple sources. There's chewable ones. Papaya Enzymes by American Health is one of my favorite brands. It's super easy. They sell it at most grocery stores now, and you chew two of those before a protein-filled meal. So something to consider. But nevertheless, the protein is huge for helping you to have proper healing of your tendons and ligaments, especially if you're working out a lot, especially if you had a recent injury. And go over and get the Vital Proteins too if you've had a recent injury, because you don't want to mess around with that. Okay, so nevertheless, today we've talked all about those ankles. Make sure that if you haven't listened to my podcast on mobility of the feet, you want to go back and listen to that. That's my podcast right before this, podcast episode 33. Hugely important. If your feet and ankles are moving, you're going to have a long, active life. Also going to have less back pain, if not be back pain free. So something to think about. This also affects your knees and hips. So keep that in mind too. My next podcast, I'm talking all about the knees and hips and how to keep those guys mobile so that you have a whole plan from the feet all the way up by the end of these three podcasts. All right, you've survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning into The Health Fix, the podcast all about taking control of your health, rebelling against aging, and having fun every day. A lot of patients ask me, do you think I'm aging too fast? So, I created an evaluation checklist for you to see for yourself. Plus, I created a resource guide to help you slow down the aging process right now. You can find it for free on my website, drjkrausend.com. If you like this podcast, help get the word out to others by liking it and rating it. If you'd like more natural health tips, and want to join our Facebook community where I interact daily, click on the Join Group button on our website at drjkrausend.com.